This meeting is now being recorded.
Shalom, everyone. This is Elliot Salo Schoenberg speaking, the International Director of Placement for the Rabbinical Assembly. I'd like to welcome you all to Mocha Mondays, Meditations on Career Advancement for Congregations. The topic of our seminar today is the Shabbat visit by a candidate. And I am delighted that we have two experts here. First, Mr. Glenn Untenberger of Adat Israel in Marion Station, Pennsylvania, who's chair of their search committee, veteran of two searches, and also at the same time, Dr. Murray Cohen, Fort Worth, Texas, also completed a search last year, not only for a permanent rabbi, but also an interim rabbi. So even though we have two guests, we have four searches and their expertise. Gentlemen, welcome to our call.
Thank you.
So the first question I'd like to start with, since we often get asked this question, is tell us about how you picked the date for the candidates to come. Was there a bar mitzvah, not a bar mitzvah, other synagogue activities? How did you sort of internally debate this? What were your issues, and how did you resolve it?
Well, this is Glenn, and I'm happy to start. I'll start by saying that we were very happy with the way we were able to conduct our searches. We had excellent results in the terms of the rabbis we recruited, including Rabbi Stephen Wernick, who's now is Executive Vice President of the United Synagogue, and that's why we've done two searches, because he moved up to that other position. We focused the visitation weekends on January, in the January and February time frame, because that seemed to fit best in terms of the recruiting cycle, if you will, when you had to make final offers and get contracts in place and the like. And we gravitated towards non-bar mitzvah weekends, where we had some openings along those lines, and it wouldn't create any issues with respect to families who had relationships with the incumbent rabbi or what have you. So and to detract from potentially from the focus of that given weekend. And otherwise, it was just a matter of what's open in the schedule, and also a little bit of what other activities were going on that the visiting rabbi could fit into and participate in, see us as well as us see the candidate in action. I'll give Murray a chance.
Now, this is Murray. This was actually the easiest part of the entire process because, first of all, there's not a whole lot of options. Once you get down to a final few that you're considering, there's just how many weeks are even available. And then you've got to look at the candidate's schedule for them and their spouse and primarily things that they have going on in their shuls. So we really didn't have any angst about it. There was plenty of angst on everything about who was going to come and getting to that point. Don't get me wrong, but we're very satisfied. We really scored big time as far as we're concerned, both with our interim rabbi and our permanent rabbi. And I've also got to say that the support and guidance that we got from Rabbi Schoenberg's office was and from our regional rep from the United Synagogue were absolutely invaluable. So it was a healthy process, a good process. We didn't have an issue with an incumbent rabbi because our guide left. So we were totally free. It was really a matter of making it convenient for the candidate.
Well, Murray, I will send you a check in the mail shortly for that.
I think there's going to be the other way, Rabbi.
this is Glenn. Rabbi Schoenberg and I have not consulted in advance, nor Murray and I, but I would have to echo the same thing. There's a publication that Rabbi Schoenberg's office gives to candidates who are, to synagogues who are conducting searches. We followed it very closely, and as Murray said, it was just invaluable to be able to have that resource.
Your check is going to be the same size. It won't be any bigger than Murray's.
I think this is an overarching. There's an overarching comment I have to make about the whole process. It's not just a matter of taking Rabbi E's book, Aliyah, seriously. We did our kind of local Texas version of canonizing it. It became the sixth book of Torah. It's a little daunting because it comes in and it's 68 pages long, and everybody on the committee was told, read this and we're going to, meet about it and have questions, or you're not going to still be on the committee. yes, there's lots of grumbling getting into that. But the key point is that this is a sacred task, and there's a lot of fray that you have to rise above on a committee and certainly as chair of the committee. And that book, just as Alan said, it's a continuing resource text to go back to and find things and you know, quote to calm the troubled waters as you're going through the process. It was just terrific. And we also had our regional guy, Jay Weiner, come and and during the process and meet with our committee. And he took lots of kvetching and geschreiing and handled it with aplomb and settled things down. And we had really fabulously successful hires in both counts. So it's
great. So let's talk a little bit about logistics. Tell me about the budget. Did you guys have a budget? And if so, how much and how big an internal conversation was this about bringing in folks who were the candidates because they come from near and far? Well, give me a number first. Murray, why don't you begin?
I'll take that. We're pretty blessed. We're in good shape. Our shul is running in the black and doesn't have any debt right now. And the board basically created the committee and just gave me a $10,000 budget to work with, whatever that would cost in doing these two hires. Turns out I don't think we spent even half of that. We have a lot of members who are, frequent flyers and frequent hotel guests, and they donated points, when they were needed. So it didn't, it wasn't a whole lot of money. We also have, nice Marriott hotels in walking distance of the shul, so those rabbis who don't drive on Shabbat, it was convenient for them as well. So budget really wasn't a whole lot of trouble.
Glenn?
Spent across two searches and bringing in four candidates, a total of about $5,000.
Well, that's interesting. I would say we budgeted about $5,000. I did that formally, but that was the number for the searches. And we did a lot of for us. We put up candidates at the homes of individuals. We were able to coordinate visits and trips. We brought in candidates and their wives when they were coming from out of town. Also a little budgeting for extended kiddush, social opportunities as well.
Right.
Good
point.
And the $5,000 seemed to work.
Great. So, like all good events, if you've done the right amount of preparation and the right kind of preparation. So let's talk a little bit about what you needed to do in advance in order to make a Shabbat visit a success.
Well, from our standpoint, by the way, Marion Station is right outside of Philadelphia for anybody who's keeping track of that stuff. We made the rabbi search both times intentionally, not just a search to find a rabbi, but also a community building exercise. I think we gained a lot by investing in things that way in terms of let's engage as many members as we can in thinking through the direction of the synagogue and which way it's going to go and who, what do we think of ourselves, how do we portray ourselves, and a lot of that came from, the Aliyah book that we've been talking about. But in terms of preparations, the idea was to line up as many of our constituencies as possible into a schedule which gave those people opportunities to meet our candidate and his spouse. And for us, they were all male candidates, so I apologize for the way I say his or her. But give opportunities for personally meeting them, but in constituency groups. And so it was a matter of coordinating all those constituencies. And I can go through a schedule at some point if you want, but
that's my next question.
I'll save it for then and give Mary a chance.
Okay, thanks, Alan. I echo all of that. The really hard part was, as in the Aliyah book, the application process and a series of six town hall meetings plus a congregational meeting to answer questions and go through who we are and what we want to be and five-year visioning and 20-year visioning, et cetera, which was a process. Once we got there, we found that application form and the results of that process were what the candidates were using to decide that they wanted to see us. And I guess the main point I would make, I hadn't done anything like this since rush week in college fraternities, but you really are recruiting and selling yourself to a rabbi and his family. So it's going both ways, and you got to keep that in mind. And we did everything we could, just as Alan was saying, the kinds of events, you know, at the shul are pretty easy, like who are the main constituencies and when are you going to cram them all into a Shabbaton kind of weekend. But we had a few little extras. I think it worked out well for us that we had, since we didn't have an incumbent Rebbetzin, we had one of the ladies who chairs our catering and kiddush committee make calls in advance to the candidate's wife. All of our candidates also were male, and talk about, you know, schools and any other issues that they cared about or anything that they would want to see while they were here. So some of the things that happened over the weekend were separate from the wife from the candidate. And we also made sure that there was free time, but that was also scheduled. So they had in advance, here's what your weekend's going to be, so they could say, wait a minute, we happen to prefer, Shabbos nap at the following time or whatever. And we also had a kind of welcome committee that put together a goodie bag or a welcome bag at the hotel when they got there that included, Chamber of Commerce, Tourist Bureau kind of information, which the candidates told us, they really liked. You know, for the ones that had kids, we had age-appropriate, gifts in the goodie bag for the local sports teams and stuff like that, which made for some pretty easy conversation as they met members of the congregation over the Shabbaton weekend.
From some of my experience with this, I will say that a lot of people talk about sports gifts. So just bear that in mind for what it's worth. And I want to highlight one of the things that you said is that someone needs to be reaching out to the spouse. And I think that's great. You had a layperson do that. But just connecting with them and saying, what are your needs for the weekend? What are your concerns? Terrific. Terrific. So now let's talk about the schedule. Let's talk about what you did do and whether it was too much. But let's actually go through the Shabbat and what did you have the candidate do?
All right, so this is Glenn. I'll volunteer to go first. We brought in each of our two searches three finalists, so that's a sense of scope. And we were able to set up the visiting weekend to start on Thursday evening and run through Sunday early afternoon. Thursday evening was typically meeting with synagogue lay leadership, both the existing board of directors and the behind the scene machers, giving the rabbi a chance, the candidate and his spouse a chance to show themselves and to meet who we are. Friday morning, an opportunity to visit our preschool, meet with other professional staff, meet with the board and PTA of the preschools, participate in preschool Shabbat. Friday afternoon, driving tour of the area. Here's where the Jewish day school is. Here's where the dry cleaners are. The doctors. We had a local fellow who's in real estate who knows how to conduct those kind of tours provide that opportunity. Friday evening. Leading Shabbat services, although I'll say on the lighter side, maybe a short 5 minutes of our toe or something like that, and then schmoozing at Kiddush afterwards with people in attendance. Saturday morning was the bigger day from the Bima, leading the service, full-scale sermon and the like, or whatever kind of presentation the rabbi wanted to make in that context. Saturday afternoon was downtime. Saturday evening was a social event. Maybe it was a silent auction. Maybe it was a gathering at somebody's home more people being invited, that kind of thing. Sunday morning was a town hall kind of meeting. We have meetings on congregational breakfasts on Sunday morning, and this was come meet the rabbi candidate, Q&A session, pretty open. We weren't sure what we would be are opening up what kind of strange questions we'd be opening up the candidate to, but there was nothing embarrassing that happened, which was good. In either directions, everybody kind of held their own. And then an exit visit to the religious school after that, and then an exit interview from, I'll say, 1 to 2 in the afternoon or thereabouts. A very full schedule, but we kind of thought it was to everybody's benefit to have as many of those meetings take place as possible, and we think that was successful.
Yeah, this is Murray. Not to repeat those things that Alan said, but we did pretty much the same thing. None of ours had the benefit of going from a Thursday through a Sunday. They were either Friday through Sunday or earlier in the week in one case. But we basically integrated them into whatever was going on in the shul at that time anyway, and then set up something special to cover all those bases that Alan mentioned. I would add, in our case, it was very important that the rabbi who was selected would also serve as a Baal Kore, and that was a key part of our particular process. And in fact, some candidates were otherwise very strong, but that was a deal breaker that they were not comfortable regular Torah readers. So we made sure that during the course of the visit, the rabbi read Torah both on Shabbat and in a morning minyan. So we had to make one up on a Sunday morning, which we did, and that worked out fine. It kind of tied it in with a Dvar Torah, because our morning minyan crowd is kind of a different crowd than the Shabbat crowd. And I think what was key, was the separate role for the Rebbetzin to be. The ladies' auxiliary had some events that they planned that were separate. And they had their own kind of town hall meeting or coffee clutch conversation, as well as things that the couple did jointly. And that was very successful for us.
Oh, great. So you did all this planning. You did all this work. Was there a surprise?
Of course. What does Talmud teach us? Man plans, God laughs.
Okay, so tell me about it.
I guess really there were two to me, and they were both very unhappy, unpleasant surprises, and we had to learn from them and then modify subsequent visits accordingly. The first was we thought it would just be great. We're not a shtetl in Fort Worth, Texas. A lot of people think we are, but our shul is about to celebrate its 120th year, and we've got 350 members, pretty stable. But we are the only conservative shul in a county which is one of the largest geographic counties in the country. There's other temples and a Chabad around. But we thought it would be nice to have the candidates talk with some of the other rabbis who would be their rabbinic colleagues, for better or worse. And we found out that, some of those guys were very divisive, and they wanted, I don't know why, but they wanted to take the occasion to conduct Lashon Hara. So we didn't do that anymore after the first time that happened.
Mm-hmm.
That was a real surprise. The second surprise was, and this goes back to what I said earlier, the Rabbi E's tome, the guidance book, Aliyah, was so helpful to keep reminding ourselves that this is a sacred task, and a lot of people really kind of get lost in the weeds and can't see the forest for the trees, and you have to, as a committee, rise above that. But you know how we Jews are, and everybody knows somebody somewhere else or has a family member, Jewish geography. So by the time every candidate got there, there was already a rumor mill running around, primarily, members of, like the temple across the way or whatnot, basically gossiping, including Lashon Hara, which was a surprise to me. We hadn't anticipated that. And so the way we dealt with it is, certainly when we were interviewing the candidates, and we found that this didn't surprise them. They all had experience in shuls before. they were very open about, talking about things that, might be said and what we might anticipate. And we told them that we had had that experience. And everybody was just kind of prepared. And whenever we heard that kind of stuff from folks in shul before or after the visit, all of our committee members were told constantly just, You know, take the guidance. You're not supposed to listen to Lashon Hara and tell people that. But it that was about the only really difficult negative aspect of the process. But it did catch me very much by surprise.
Glenn, any surprises for you?
Yeah, I'd say the surprise for us was that we didn't encounter any negative surprises. I still kind of think we're blessed along those lines. You know, we were concerned about would we have people who kind of confronted the candidate and said, I have this personal issue that nobody's been able to make me happy about, and what are you going to do for me? And But all our members seemed to rise above that, not you know, think about the community as opposed to you know, personal issues. I mean, there were, you know, hard questions like intermarriage and, you know, that kind of stuff. But nothing that was any kind of diverting us from the path for making a communal decision. And so it was good. I wish I had, well, I'm glad I don't have more to report.
So one of the things that I always do this with my family after they go take a trip, you know, aside from the generic question, you know, how was it? I always say, so tell me about a highlight. What was the highlight of your vacation? What was the highlight of your trip to the Grand Canyon? And that's the question I want to ask. But partially I want you to think about it in terms of some of the different constituencies. So first, as the leadership team, what do you think was the highlight of the Shabbat weekend? And then on the other hand, what do you think it was for the congregants who weren't on the search committee?
This is Murray. I think clearly for the congregants, the highlight was what Alan described they did as a town hall meeting. We ended up having a, you know, kind of a Havdalah, Motzi Shabbat, larger than the usual snacks, but not quite dinner, in a town hall kind of a setting. And the rabbis loved that, and the congregants loved that. Including the hard questions, because you really got to see how the rabbi was going to act and react in building community. I think for the executive committee, the search committee, and the board of directors, the highlight wasn't the little mini meetings with those groups, but rather when the rabbi interacted with, you know, in our view, for our circumstances, the rabbi's greatest interaction with committees was going to be with the education committee and the ritual committee. So we had a joint meeting on Sunday morning of those two committees, and they are very active, you know, hard questioning groups that had a lot on their minds, and how the rabbis dealt with that and interacted in those settings with search committee members watching on, I think, was a real highlight. But it certainly showed us the mettle of the candidates.
And for us, I mean, kind of in a narrow perspective, the highlight of our most recent search was when Rabbi Eric Yanoff, who, you know, we were able to, we were lucky enough to retain for the position, Saturday evening social event at a home with maybe 30 other people there, and he led Havdalah services behind the piano, and you know, accompanied as he sang, and people were kind of blown away. But the town hall meetings were really the focal point for everybody in terms of not only getting a sense for knowing the personality of the rabbi, but also the rabbi getting a chance to know who he's dealing with and who the people are, and kind of creating a sense of openness and a listening environment that was just very reinforcing. And I think all our constituencies felt that was the most important way for the community and the candidate to connect. And it turned out to be true.
Great, great. So let's sort of bring this to a close. My final question is, if you had only one piece of advice to give a search committee or the chair of a search committee about this Shabbat visit, succinct, the one most important piece of advice you'd give to someone else about running this time-consuming, draining, terrifically important event, what would it be?
I'd go back to what I said earlier, which is to make it a community building activity as much as a let's find a spiritual leader kind of activity. That it's a real opportunity. When Rabbi Warnick left to take the position with the United Synagogue, it was pretty devastating for us. I mean, we lost somebody we loved, and it was a hard time. And to turn that into a positive by making this an opportunity to chart our future, to decide who we are, decide why things are good here, it really helped us rally and come out of it even stronger. So that and, you know, following the guidance on the Aliyah book are, you know, two of the hallmarks.
Well, I couldn't say it any better. I agree completely, so I'm not going to repeat that. But I will add one point. So I got something to say. All four of the candidates that we brought in across our two searches got jobs, you know, in the search timetable. So it is a recruiting process, and you can't dawdle, and, you know, you got to treat the candidates with respect. And if you know you're, you know, as soon as you know yes or no on them, you really need to let them know and let Rabbi know what your status is, because you may find you get left out.
Well, terrific. So I want to thank you both gentlemen for an informative and helpful conversation on a really critical piece of this process. Dr. Murray Cullen from Fort Worth, Texas, Mr. Glenn Untermeyer from Marion Station, Pennsylvania. Thank you very much for your wisdom and for your willingness to share with us. This has been Eliyahu Salo Schoenberg, International Director of Placement for the Rabbinical Assembly, and this has been Mocha Monday for Congregations. Thank you very much.
No questions, huh?